We're continuing the book of Shmuel. We're up to what's called the seventh chapter. Shmuel has become a prophet. He's well known as a prophet. And we're headed towards war. Israel goes out towards the Philistines. And they camp by Evan Haezer. And the Philistines camp by a place called Afek. And we lose the first battle. 4,000 men fall. So they go to the elders and they say, how could it be? What a devastating defeat. Let's take the Aron, the ark that should be in our midst when we go to war. Now there's an argument among the Tanoim in the Talmud. Which Aron did they take? The simple reading is they took the Aron that was the tabernacle, the Aron that had the Luchos. Others say this was another Aron that used to go out to war with them. There were two Arons. There was an Aron that always went to war, and there was this Aron. So the nation goes and brings the Aron from Shiloh, and now we will have a divide. And until the temple is built, this divide will continue, where the Shiloh is the place of worship, and the Aron goes out to war, and it won't go back to Shiloh. The rejoining of the Aron with the place of worshiping Hashem will only be in King David's time in Jerusalem. So the Aron comes out of Shiloh, and the Aron is there, and supposedly they're going to win the war with the Aron. So when the Aron comes in, everyone puts up a great roar, and the Philistines hear it, and they say, what's going on? So they hear that the Aron came to the Jewish camp, and they got very scared, and they said, God joined their camp. Oh no, we never had such a thing before, that the Jews fought with the Aron in their midst. Who's going to save us from this great God? This is the God that destroyed Egypt. This is the God that did so many miracles in the desert. We have to strengthen ourselves lest we end up being in servitude to them as they've been in servitude to us. Let's go fight the war. So they go to war. And they went. 30,000 infantry men fall from Israel. 30,000. And the two sons of Eli are killed on that day. And the Philistine warrior named Goliath runs forward laughing as he grabs the Aron. And he pulls out the two tablets that were given by God. And he's standing there laughing at the Jews. Look what I got. And a young warrior from Benjamin, the tribe of Benjamin, that only had 600 people left after the massive civil war we read last week. Not last week, but at the end of the book of Shoftim. A young man called Saul, Shaul ben Kish, tall young man, runs valiantly, runs up to Goliath, grabs the tablets out of his hands and says, no, you don't. Grabs him out of his hands and runs. And runs. And keeps on running. And he doesn't stop until he reaches the city of Shiloh. And Eli was sitting by the road waiting to hear what happened. He was so worried about the Aron that was taken out. And Shaul runs into the city and tells them, we lost, we lost. The Philistines won. And the Aron was taken and the whole city breaks out in weeping. And Eli hears this, and he asks, what's going on? And Eli couldn't see so well. So Shaul runs out to Eli. Eli is 98 years old. Shaul tells him, I'm the man who came from the camps. I fled from the camps. Eli asks him, what happened? So he's trying to prepare Eli. He tells him, I fled. So he says, Israel ran away from the war. And there was a great plague against the nation. So many people died. Your two sons, Hophni and Pinchas, died. And the Aron of God was captured. And when he says that, Eli falls off the chair. The chair had no back. And he falls backwards. He was a heavy man. And when he fell, he broke his neck and he died. So on the same day, Hophni, Pinchas, and their father die. And his daughter-in-law, Pinchas' wife, was pregnant. And when she heard the news, she felt so bad. She started having contractions. And she gave birth, and the birth went badly, and her contractions went badly, and she was dying, and they tried to comfort her. They said, don't worry, you're having a son, everything's okay, it's a boy. And she says, call him Ikavod, give him the name Lack of Honor, because Israel has lost their honor now that the ark has been taken, and she dies. So that's what Eli was forewarned, that because he didn't chastise his son as they were doing their terrible acts in the temple, he would lose them on the 2 days, on the same day, and a terrible thing would happen in Israel that everyone would be shocked from. Now what happens next, it doesn't say in the Navi, but what happens next is the Philistines advance on Shiloh that same day, and they destroy Shiloh as well. And on this day, not only was the Aron conquered, but Shiloh was also destroyed. So Eli dies, but the rest of Shiloh is also destroyed shortly thereafter.
What was
It doesn't say. I'm unaware of anything, any place that it says. The Philistines take the Aron, and they bring it to the city of Ashdod, which was always, which was throughout much of Jewish history, a Philistine city. And they place it in front of their idol Dagon, which is like a mermaid, a merman, you know, half fish, half man. And their point was to show this is the Hebrew God, this is the Philistine God, and being that we were victorious, so let him stand there in service before our God. They get up the next morning, they walk into their temple, and they see their God falling before the Aron. So they said, must be a coincidence. Yeah, it's a coincidence. They test, they reset up their God. They set him up on the pedestal again. And they come up the next morning. And again, they find him falling before the Aron. And his head is missing and his two hands are missing. And they're placed on the doorpost. As if to show, you know, his head and hands were cut off. He can't do anything. So what do the Philistines do? They say, ooh, the entrance to that must be a holy place if he put his head and hands over there. Right. So they attributed it to the idol, and they would never step on that spot again. So Hashem punishes them, and they start being constipated, and the whole city can't go to the bathroom. And after a day, and two, and three, and four, people start getting very sick. And the people of Ashdod say, oh no, we can't handle this. Get this Aron out of here. And those who would try to go to the bathroom, mice would come and would bite them and destroy their capacity to relieve themselves. You know, that's Turkish torture. The Turks invented this torture, where they pierce a nail through a person's lower bottom, and then the person can never contain himself. Every time he tries to go to the bathroom, everything spills out. He can't hold himself in. So this is what happened to the Philistines. The mice would come and start biting off the end part of their digestive tract, and then you'd have people who were constipated, and people who couldn't contain themselves, and people who had mice climbing into them, and people were getting really sick. So they said, we can't handle this, Aaron. Get him out of here. He's punishing our God. He's punishing our people. Get him out. So they call in all the elders. They say, what are we going to do? So they say, okay, send Aaron to the city of Gat. So they send Aaron to the city of Gat. And the city of Gat suffers even more. Everyone, from young to old, starts losing it. And they send the city to Ekron, another Philistine city. They're not waiting for their elders. Get them out of here. When the Aron comes to Ekron, the Ekronim, the people from Ekron, call out, God forbid, we can't handle the Aron here. What, you want to kill us too? No way. They call the elders, and they say, get the Aron out of here. So the elders say, okay, here's what we'll do. Yes?
I don't understand, I hope I don't get struck down or burned all night in my dreams, son, but what? You see this happen? Why don't you just. The Aron, isn't it just the Torah? Is that what you're telling me?
The Aron is an ark. Inside the ark were the tablets, the broken tablets, the Sefer Torah.
Why don't they just burn it, bury it? Why are they moving it from place to place if they know that bad things are happening?
I hear. It's an interesting question. Don't forget, it was made of solid gold. Not solid gold, gold and wood, but it was a lot of gold. So people started whimpering and weeping, and everyone thought they were going to die. People were getting sick all over. So they call their sorcerers, their priests, and they ask them, what are we supposed to do? So they say, if you're going to send them away, they're still haughty. They're still like, if you guys really think so. So send them with a gift. And you'll see if you're cured. So you'll know that he was upset at you that you took him away from his people, and then you'll know that's right. So what should we give? They say make yourself five gold mice and put them in a box, and make five gold figurines of the shapes of the parts of you that were being bitten by the mice. And it's very strange, because the simple reading here is five gold shapes of anuses. You know, that's not exactly what you'd think they're supposed to send. But they said, look, this is what's happening to you. This is, you know, you're suffering over there. So make gold shapes of that, gold shapes of the mice that are destroying the land, and give that as an honor offering to the God of Israel. And maybe everything will go good, because why should it be hard-hearted like the Egyptians? And then they lost also. So if you're going to lose, you might as well do it fast. So take a new wagon, take cows that never carried a yoke, and tie the cow's children behind them so that the mothers would naturally not agree to move, because A, they haven't been trained to carry a yoke. B, they see their children tied behind them. And see what happens. Put the gold ark and everything on top. Nahum, we got 1 minute left, so we'll talk after class. And put the gifts in a chest next to it and send it and see what happens. And if it goes on its own, if the cows on their own travel up to Beit Shemesh, so you'll know that the Aron is the one that's responsible for all this. And if not, so you'll know it was all a coincidence. So that's what they do. And what do you think happens? The cows start singing. The Medrash says they literally sang. Another understanding is they just walked a straight path. It seemed like they were humming as they were walking, as they took the Aron straight up the path to Beit Shemesh. And they didn't turn to the right or left. They didn't look back at their kids. They did something that was completely unnatural. They were never trained to carry a yoke. And they did it. They just traveled, took their own straight back. And the leaders of the Philistines followed to see what was happening. The people of Beit Shemesh, they're busy harvesting their wheat. They look up and they see the Aron. So they say, wow! They start rejoicing. They cut down the wood and they offer the cows as a sacrifice to Hashem. And the Levites take out the Aron, and they put it by a man named Yoshua Beit HaShimshi. And after they offer sacrifices, so the Philistines go back home, and the people of Beit Shemesh, they start looking. The Aron is supposed to be in hiding. It's in the Holy of Holies. They're looking. And then they say, okay, so you, the Aron, you beat up the Philistines. Tell us, God, where were you when we lost the war? What happened that you left and now you decided to come back? So this is how people started talking. Ah, this Aron is so powerful, but wasn't so powerful when we were fighting the war. Where was God then? So people started talking disrespectfully about the Aron, and 50,000 people died. I guess Beit Shemesh was a big city back then. So we have a tradition, it says 70 people and 50,000 people. So we have a tradition that the 70 elders of the people, where each one was valued like 50,000 people, 70 of the giants of Israel, they died. And when it says 70 people, 50,000 people, one understanding is it means 50,000 and 70, 70 elders and 50,000. Another understanding is it was 70 people, but it was clear it was the 70 elders that were valued like 50,000 apiece. So the people of Beit Shemesh said, what are we going to do now? And that's where we'll pick up, is Hashem, next week.